Blog Talk Radio.
God, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial 319-527-6200 404 at 7 p.m. And you can give us your thoughts, comments, or what on what the writer is conveying. Amen. And you can also call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Praise be to God. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. To God be the glory.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come. Your glory, God, is
Amen. Praise be to God. Loving God, help us to invest in the poor for Jesus' sake and ours. Amen, amen, and amen.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you're greater.
God have mercy. Come on, y'all, this is simple. We're gonna have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about His goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God? Somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustain.
Sometimes you gotta call him
Jesus.
You gotta call on him.
Sustain me.
My Lord. Jesus.
Sustain.
Oh, yes, he does.
Sustains me.
Late in the midnight hour.
Sustaining me.
When I can't sleep at night.
Sustains me.
Trouble.
God, it sustains
trouble
me.
Trouble all the time.
Jesus, sustains me.
Sometimes you're free.
God is sustaining me. Heavenly Father, as baby birds find protection under their mother's wings, may we find refuge under the shield of your faithfulness. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And now, it is time for our devotional message, amen, praise be to God, which is entitled, A Minister of Comfort. The scripture reading for this message is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. In the New Living Translation, and it says, He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Amen? Praise God. You have heard repeatedly that God causes all the circumstances of your life to work together for your good and His glory. But do you truly believe it? Sometimes it is difficult. If a trial is sufficiently unexpected or painful, it can leave you wondering why God allows you to face such turmoil. The only way to deal with the suffering positively and proactively is to view it through the eyes of God. So ask him to help you see your circumstances from his perspective. Everything won't be completely clear, but you will have confidence that the Savior who redeemed you will not abandon his work in your life. Amen? Always remember that you are the beloved child of the living God. If sorrow is your life, the Lord knows all about it and catches your tears, Psalms 56:8. Yet, he is strong enough to take your pain and loneliness and produce something worthwhile out of them. He will use the adversity you have experienced to help you reach out to others who have been hurt and are struggling. He will take your pain and tragedy and use both to mold you into a wise and caring minister of his comfort. To God be the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for working through our pain to make us into a minister of your grace. Amen, amen, and amen. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. And that concludes our devotional message for this evening. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. Amen. So if you would like to join us, you can call in at 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
Of wisdom, you said, raise yourself and answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words. And I don't deserve your glorious love is more than enough. What words could I use to explain? Forever I'll trust in your glorious love. Your glorious love. Like thunder, you said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no words, and I don't.
God. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 15 through 33. Amen? That's 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 15 through 33. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, you are reasonable people. Decide for yourselves if what I am saying is true. When we blessed the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body. Think about the people of Israel. Weren't they united by eating the sacrifices at the altar? What am I trying to say? Am I saying that food offered to idols have some significance, or that idols are real gods? No, not at all. I am saying that these sacrifices are offered to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons. Two, you cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons too. What do we dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy? Do you think we are stronger than he is? You say, I am allowed to do anything. But not everything is good for you. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. So you may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If someone who isn't a believer asks you home for dinner, accept the invitation. If you want to, eat whatever is offered to you without raising questions of conscience. But suppose someone tells you this meat was offered to an idol. Do not eat it. Out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. For why should my freedom be limited by what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. So Paul gave one answer to the dilemma: buy whatever meat is sold at the market without asking whether or not it was offered to idols. It doesn't matter anyway, and no one's conscience would be bothered. When we become too worried about our every action, we become legalistic and cannot enjoy life. Everything belongs to God, and he has given us all things to enjoy. If we know something is a problem, then we can deal with it. But we don't need to go looking for problems. Amen? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. A great An underlying principle that runs throughout the Bible is that of seeking good for one's neighbor. This is basically what Jesus meant when he said that one who saves his life shall lose it. But the one who loses his life for the sake of the gospel shall find it. People also need to realize that when they seek the good of their neighbor, they are seeking their own good. In this passage, three thoughts are projected that call for consideration. My text for this message is coming from 1 Corinthians 10 and 24, from the NIV Bible, and it says, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Amen. And the title for this message is Seeking Our Neighbor's Good. The first thought is a caution. No one should seek their own good. That which is condemned in this passage is that of which most people are guilty. At this point, an individual becomes a victim of society as a whole. Society encourages people to seek their own benefit, and when they do, they are praised for it. The normal tendency is to look out for oneself. That which is condemned in this passage is sanctional by a certain view of religion. A good example of this is when certain people of a particular religious philosophy retire from the world to make sure of their own spiritual welfare. It is easy to overlook the interests of others while promoting one's own salvation. That which is condemned in this passage does not mean that each person is not to look out for self. The whole message, the whole message of the Bible is that every person is to be a responsible person. The Bible says, they made me of the vineyard. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. Psalm 1:6. It also says each person is to remove the beam from his own eye before he seeks to pull the mote from the other person's eye. Matthew 7:5, Luke 6:42. And the second thought is a rule. Caution, number one. Number two, rule. Let every person seek the good of others. This rule expressly applies to every person. Paul said in Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Whatever a person's position is in life, whether it be in the church, the family, or society in general, he is under the obligation of self-denial, helpfulness. There is a good need in society for such helpfulness. People are sick, sin-ridden, lonesome, suffering, and lost. They all need help. The one best way this rule can be followed is by spreading the gospel. Amen. Praise be to God. And the third is this. The third thought is a motive. This is implied, but not specifically expressed. The example of Jesus' life and death is an example of unselfishness. His love and sacrifice constitute the moral power of benevolence. That was that word, benevolence. He died that others may live. Amen? And I just have one more thing to say is this. Praise God, praise God. is okay. So there were cases where Christians might eat what had been offered to idols without sin, such as when the flesh was sold in the market as common food for the priest to whom it had been given. But a Christian must not merely consider what is lawful, but what is expedient. And to edify others, Christianity by no means forbids the common office of kindness or allows uncovetous behavior to any. However, they may differ from us in religious sentiments or practice, but this is not to be understood of religious festivals, partaking in idolatrous worship. According to this advice of the apostle, Christians should take care not to use their liberty to the hurt of others or to their own reproach in eating and drinking. And all we do, we should aim at the glory of God, at pleasing and honoring him. This is the great end of all religion and directs us where expresses rules are wanting. A holy, peaceable, and benevolent spirit disarms the greatest enemies. Praise God. And my conclusion for this message is this. Many of the ills and woes of the world today could be remedied if all people would take the admonition of this passage of Scripture. That is, live responsible and useful lives. Amen. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Jesus. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do from this point on is to ask and pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen. And my devotion, my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25. And it says, Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, I will play a selection, and while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, amen. Praise God.
Just to see you. lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. Every voice in this room, we have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him. Open up your mouth and begin to cry out for him.
Amen. Praise God. Father God, I need a good father, a true father, one who will not leave me. I'm trusting you to be this father for me. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. Praise God.
Come on, let the sound of worship be released from your lips. Y'all raise it, raise it in a motion.
Open up the light.
Amen. Praise be to God. Fill me up, Lord. I need more of you. Again, we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. In the meantime, I'll play another short selection. I pray that you're enjoying our inspirational music. Amen.
Throughout my life, there have been many trials and tribulations. But there are one thing I come to know, without a doubt, is that God can and God will. Therefore, I know I can always.
When you're feeling down, you need to know that there's a safe place you can go to share your despair.
Fall down on your knees, say help to save your feet. Cast your cares on him, he'll supply all your needs.
Friends and family, they can walk away.
But when you call on God, he'll come and save the day.
He loves and cares for you, and he will see you through.
You both can walk hand in hand through the storm, he will say.
Bible by Bruce Wilkinson, and by will be conducted by our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. We like to also welcome our psalmist, Barbara Amore. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. How's everybody?
Blessed. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm.
Yes, First Lady.
So let's pray in and we can get started. Our Father and our God, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you. We cannot thank you enough, Lord God, for this opportunity, Father, that you give us to take the time to study your word, Lord God. We thank you for the revelations the things that have been revealed to us, Lord God, through studying your word, Lord God. We thank you that it only draws us closer to you, Lord God, that we get a better understanding of our salvation and we get a better understanding, Lord God, of what it means to follow Jesus, and to be sanctified, Lord God. So we thank you and we praise you for this journey that we are on, Lord God, while we're here on this side, Lord God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit to guide us, Lord God, in the things that we do, all the things that we do, Lord God. So I thank you, Lord God, for Sister Hilda, Lord God, and I thank you, Lord God, for Sister Barbara, who are eager, Lord God, always eager, Lord God, to know what thus says the Lord, Lord God, and to delve into your word, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, for all that you do. And forgive us, Lord God, for things that we've said, Lord God, things that we have done, Lord God, that was not pleasing to you, Lord God. Forgive us for those things that just grieve the Holy Spirit within us, Lord God. And bring those things to our remembrance, Lord God, so that we don't do it again. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Beautiful.
Okay, praise God. Before we get started, I want us to read, if you can go to John, the book of John, because we're in the book of John, and to read verses 30 and 31. And this is entitled, at least in the New Living Translation, these two verses are entitled, The Purpose of the Book. So, Sister Barbara, can you get that, please?
John 20, verses 30 and 31. Okay, sure. I'll be coming from the message.
Mm-hmm.
John 20, 30, and 31. Read. Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book. These are written down so you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in the act of believing, have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed. And the word of the Lord is already blessed.
Amen, amen, amen. And in the New Living Translation, it reads, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. So
amen.
We were up to the purpose, the theme and purpose, and I'm just going to go over it. But can you, Hilda, can you get, just put a marker, get John chapter 8, verse 32, and chapter 10, verse 38. And Sister Barbara, if you can get John 1 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
And also put a pin on John 3 and 19. So I'm going to leave it. So the theme and purpose. Okay, so the fourth gospel has the clearest purpose statement in the Bible. And we just read that. It says, and that's 20 and 31 where it says, but these are written that you may believe that mm-hmm. Jesus is the Christ, mm-hmm. the Son of God, mm-hmm. and that believing you may have life in his name. John selected the signs he used with the apologetic purpose of creating intellectual and spiritual conviction about the Son of God. Because he says that you may believe. And in the spiritual, he says that believing you may have life and the conviction by the Son of God. The key verb in John is believe, as required mm-hmm. and requires both knowledge and volition. So, Hilda, can you read what the knowledge requires? Knowledge, and that's 8:32 and 10:38.
Okay, 8:32 says, and I'm reading from the New Living, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And ten and 38 says, but if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I have done, even if you don't believe me, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me. And I am in the Father. Amen.
And the volition, and that's Sister Barbara, 1 and 12 and 3 and 19.
Says, the mind goes from 9 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
So the life light. What's the real thing? Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world. The world was there through him. And yet the world didn't even... He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. Okay,
and three,
you want me to go to 19?
Chapter 3, verse 19.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
3 and 19 reads, this is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. My goal is 25. Let me stop there.
Yeah. And then 7 and 17 says, if anyone wants to do his will, he will know about my teachings, whether it is from God or I am speaking from myself.
Mm-hmm.
So the predominant theme of this gospel is the dual response of faith and unbelief in the person of Jesus Christ. Those who place their faith in the Son of God have eternal life. But those who reject him are under the condemnation of God. This mm-hmm. is the basic issue. So we see in Hilda, Sister Barbara, get 3 and 36.
Okay.
Hilda, if you can get 5, 24 through 29.
Okay.
3 and 36, it starts at 34.
Mm-hmm.
says, the one that God sent speaks God's words. And don't think he rations out the Spirit in bits and pieces. The Father loves the Son extravagantly. He turned everything over to him so he could give it away. A lavish, lavish distribution of gifts. That is why whoever accepts and trusts the Son gets in on everything. Life complete and forever. And that is also why the person who avoids and distrusts the Son is in the dark and doesn't see light. All he experiences of God is darkness and an angry darkness. The word of God is blessed.
And Hilda, 5:24-29.
I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when the dead will hear my voice. The voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son. And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of God, of man. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment.
Sorry.
So everybody's going to rise, correct?
Yep. Yep. Everybody, good and evil.
Mm-hmm. You determine where you rise into.
Exactly.
So 10 and 27 through 29 says that my sheep listen to my voice. Mm-hmm. And I know, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish forever, and no one will seize them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can seize them from the Father's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. So it goes on to say that in chapter 1, particularly verses 11 through 12, summarizes the reactions of deception, to the reactions of deception and the rejection that are traced through the rest of the book. His rejection by his own people can be seen over and over in chapters 2 straight through chapter 19. Those who were his own did not receive him. But John also lists a number of men and women who believed in him. But as many as believed, but as many as received him. So verses, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Hilda, can you get that, please?
Yes.
This summarizes the reaction of deception and rejection.
Okay, one second. I get so excited that the pages are sticking to my fingers.
Okay. Well, chapter 1, verses 11 through 12 says,
he came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believe in him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen.
Thank you. Okay. So some of the key words in this thematic presentation of portions of Jesus' life are truth, light, darkness, word, knowledge, belief, abide, love, world, witness, and judgment. This gospel is not only evangelistic, but it is also designed to build the believers in their faith and understanding of the spiritual principles. John was no doubt familiar with the synoptic gospels, and we talked about the synoptic gospels were, Hilda, you remember what are the synoptic gospels?
I forgot. I'm sorry, I forgot.
That's okay. That's okay. No, the synoptic gospels were Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right? What made them synoptic is that they were similar in the fact that they pretty much told the same story.
Mm-hmm.
And which separated the Gospel of John from those synoptic gospels, because John is totally different. You know, it doesn't have any of the same recordings that those three gospels have. John is just totally different on its own. So it's saying here that John absolutely, no doubt, was familiar with the synoptic gospels, mm-hmm. and created this fourth gospel as a spiritual supplement to the others. While the other gospels focused on the Galilean ministry in Galilee, John practically avoids it, and he concentrates on the Judean ministry in Judah, not in Galilee. So that is also the difference between the gospels, the three gospels and John. So the key verses in John is, Hilda, if you can get verse 1, 11 through 13, and Sister Barbara, which we did read.
We just read those.
Yeah. We read 20 and we read 31. And did we read 11 through 13?
Yes, no, I read that 11 to 12.
Okay,
You did
13 earlier. Okay.
9 to 13. So,
right. But I will read it again. He came to his own thing, and he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But as many as received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave to them authority to become children of God. And 13 says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a husband, but of God. And that's and the key chapter is chapter 3. So let's read chapter 3.
Okay.
Let's read John chapter 3. And we can break it up, or let's see how many verses.
36.
Not that bad. Not that bad.
36.
So everybody can take 13 verses.
Okay. That's cool. Okay, 13 verses.
I'll read the first.
Go ahead, Hilda. You take 13. Okay.
There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, He came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you cannot explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. And Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. Amen.
Yeah. And as Moses stood up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. You guys remember that story?
And the stick that became a serpent?
Yeah.
And every time they looked at it, they were healed.
Right.
Every time they got bitten by a snake and they looked up at the stick.
The bronze sticks,
they were healed.
Right. And so you see how significant it is that Jesus is telling this to Nicodemus? Why do you think it's significant that Jesus uses this as an example to Nicodemus?
About people being born again?
No, about the bronze snake. It is about people being born again, but why would he use that example to Nicodemus?
Well, my thought would be that normally when you would get bitten by a snake, you would possibly die. But if you're looking at that sign of medicine with the rod, it brings you life. Resurrection right there, restoration, not so much resurrection, not die. Now, what do you call that emblem for medical again?
Oh, yeah. I forgot it.
You said it.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
My belief why he told Nicodemus that is because he was, even though Nicodemus did not understand what he was saying, but what he was saying was the same way that the people was looking up at the snake on the pole is the same way they are going to be looking at the Son of God on the cross.
Yeah, okay. But would he have used this example? Do you think Jesus would have used this same example with a Gentile
I think so.
Why not?
Well, yes. For one thing, we know that Nicodemus was a Pharisee, right?
Yes.
And the Pharisees are supposed to know the scriptures.
They were well learned.
So yes. They're well versed in the scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it, you know, the point that I'm making is that it makes sense because Jesus refers to the Old Testament a lot, especially with the Pharisees, right? Because these right. are the scriptures that they're supposed to know.
Yeah, that's their foundation, the Pentateuch or the Torah.
Right. And so therefore, in his way of being persuasive,
mm-hmm.
you know, for them to grasp what the scriptures had said, he would use, Jesus is remarkable anyway, but he would use an example that they can relate to discuss what it is that, you know, what his role is. So I am that state. So the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life, just like that snake that you know about, that you read about in Moses.
Right.
You know, that Moses did. So just showing that correlation for them, you know, to make it really sick. Like, oh.
Well, if I may, not that Jesus was that snake, but that he was lifted up.
But it's the same correlation. No, Jesus is not the snake, but he's saying just like that snake was lifted up so that you can live, I will be lifted up so that you have eternal life.
Yes.
Right. So it's him using that example for them. And you know, we know Paul did the same thing, like when he went into the synagogue, Paul used the Old Testament to persuade them that Jesus is the Messiah that you've been reading about, that you've been studying every Sunday. You know, Jesus is that Messiah, you know, the prophets prophesied about. So let me go ahead. So that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And then 16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. Should I be 13 verses? No, I got to go 26. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants.
Amen.
And then, so Sister Barbara, you could take from John the Baptist, exalts Jesus. That's a whole new section, okay?
I can do what?
Oh, you want me to go to 26, right. I'm supposed to go to 26, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time with them there, baptizing people. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Anon near Salem because there was plenty of water there, and people kept coming to him for baptism.
Mm-hmm.
This was before John was thrown into prison.
Mm-hmm.
A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, "Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one who identifies as the Messiah, is also baptizing people, and everybody is going to him instead of coming to us."
Mm.
And then right here for you, Sister Barbara, 27.
The title, 27 to what?
To the end. That's 13. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It really was 12 apiece. I miscalculated.
Oh.
Okay, so 3 into 36 would have been 12. You stopped at 26?
I stopped at 26, yeah.
Okay, so mine goes for 27, like you said. John answered, "It's not possible for a person to succeed. I'm talking about eternal success without heaven's help. You yourselves were there when I made it public that I was not the Messiah, but simply the one sent ahead of him to get things ready. The one who gets the bride is, by definition, the bridegroom. And the bridegroom's friend, his best man, that's me. In place at his side, when he can hear every word, is genuinely happy. How could he be jealous when he knows that the wedding is finished and the marriage is off to a good start? That's why my cup is running over. This is the assigned moment for him to move into the center, while I slip off to the sideline. The one who comes from above is head and shoulders over other messengers from God. The earthborn is earthbound and speaks earth language. The heavenborn is in a league of their own. He sets out the evidence of what he saw and heard in heaven. No one wants to deal with these facts, but anyone who examines this evidence will come to stake his life on this, that God himself is the truth. The one that God sent speaks God's words. And don't think he rations out the Spirit in bits and pieces. The Father loves the Son extravagantly. He turned everything over to him so he could give it away, a lavish distribution of gifts. That is why whoever accepts and trusts the Son gets in on everything, life complete and forever. And that is also why the person who avoids and distrusts the Son is in the dark and doesn't see light. All the experiences of God is dark. All he experiences of God, is darkness. And an angry darkness at that. And the word is already blessed.
So the key chapter in John 3 and 16, which we know is about the
for God to love the world.
Right. I'm just saying there's not too many scriptures that I have put to memory, but I definitely know John 3 and 16. And it says it is without doubt the most quoted and preached verse in all the scriptures.
Yep.
Captured in it is the gospel in its clearest and simplest form. That salvation is a gift of God and is obtainable only through belief. The conversation with Nicodemus and the testimony of John the Baptist provides a setting that clearly points out that being born again is the only way to find the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So now we're going to do Christ in John. So here's a few verses to get. Held if you can get John 9:11.
Okay.
Sister Barbara, can you get John 6:69? And we'll start with that.
Okay.
Also, Hilda, keep your hand, keep your finger on, no, Sister Barbara, keep your finger on 6:35 and 6:48 in chapter 6. So just keep your hand on chapter 6.
Okay.
So this book presents the most powerful case in all the Bible for the deity of the incarnated Son of God, a man called Jesus. Mm-hmm. Is also Christ, the Son of the living God. So he'll just read 9:11.
He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of
Siloam
and wash yourself. So I went and washed. And now I can see. Amen.
It's also Christ, the Son of the living God, Sister Barbara, 6:69.
6:6-9?
No, 6:69.
Oh, okay. 69, my size is 68. Peter replied, Master, to whom would we go? You have the words of real life, eternal life. We already committed ourselves, confident that you are the Holy One of God. Amen.
Yes. So the Amen. Deity of Christ can be seen in his 7 I am statements. Remember, the book of John, one of the main purposes of the book of John is to prove that Jesus is God himself in the flesh. Do you want to look it up? Pastor wants to know what this incarnate means.
What is what?
Incarnate.
Oh.
Born. Incarnate.
Did you hear, Robert? So, the deity. Huh? We can't hear you, though. Okay, we can't hear you. Sorry.
Get out of there. Go sit down. Don't
I mean, we
stop.
Don't hear you on the thing. We can't hear you on the thing.
No one knows what it means.
Okay, well.
Like, that's the strong point to the lesson to understand what that word means.
All right. Incarnate.
Incarnate.
Yes.
It's, especially of a deity or spirit. It's an embodied in flesh. In
right.
Human form.
Mm-hmm. So
and
Jesus is
adjective. But the word says embody or represented a deity or spirit in human form. So it's still
so
the
how
same.
Does that,
hmm?
How does that relate to Jesus? Relate that word to Jesus.
Jesus,
relate that
God
to Jesus.
Came, he came down in human form.
Right, right.
He needed, he could have came in the spirit, but he needed a body to show us what we, you know, what he went through that, you know, I guess we're going to go through it too.
Right, so incarnate is a spirit that embodies the flesh, and that's who Jesus is.
Representative of the incarnate.
So the deity of Christ can be seen in his seventh I am statement, where he says, I am the bread of life.
Yes.
And that's Sister Barbara, you should, you have Hilbert 5:8-12 and 9:5. But Sister Barbara, you have 6:35 and 48.
6:35 and 48.
Mm-hmm.
35 reads, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more and thirsts no more ever. I have told you this explicitly because even though you have seen me in action, you don't really believe me. Every person God gives me eventually comes running to me. And once that person is with me, I hold on and don't let go. I came down from heaven not to follow my own whim, but to accomplish the will of the one who sent me. That was 35 through 38. And then you went to 40, 50,
just 48, yeah.
48 now, right?
Yes.
Oh, starts at 47. I'm telling you the most solemn and sober truth now. Whoever believes in me has real life, eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert and died. But now, here is bread that truly comes down out of heaven. Anyone eating this bread will not die ever. I am the bread. Living bread who came down out of heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live and forever. The bread that I present to the world so that it can eat and live is myself, this flesh and blood self. And it's already blessed.
And then Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Hilda 8 and 12.
Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Amen. And 9 and 5. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Amen.
Yes. And so we see, why do you think this I am, these I am statements are significant?
It's telling us who Jesus is. He's the bread, he's light, he's life. He's everything.
Right.
He's living water.
Mm-hmm. And what does I am, what does just the I am, how does that relate to God, Jesus being God? How does that I am relate to proving Jesus is God?
That's who Moses was told, that's who God told Moses that he was in the desert when the burning bush. He said, who is that? He said, I am that I am. So.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So we see you. You don't have to.
I am sent you.
Right. So Jesus is calling.
That I am. And so can I ask a question?
Yes.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
So what it means is that Jesus is calling himself the I am. But he made it a little bit. Jesus makes it more significant. Because the whole purpose of that. The whole purpose of
God first said it. I am. That I am. What was he saying? God, Jesus took it over, but what was he saying when it was first heard?
He was giving them his name. I am. God is saying, I am in capital. That's my name. That was one of the names that God called himself besides Yahweh. Or Yahweh. He named himself I am.
Anything else?
No, I don't know. You tell me. Is there anything else?
Evangelist, what do you think?
When he said, I am, so he was saying that, okay, he's God. He's God the Son. He's God the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, he's all three. I am.
What it was saying is that I am everything that you need. If you go to God, he is telling you that I am. You need water? I am. You need money? I am. You need a this? I am. Come to me and you will receive it. I am everything. That's what he meant when he said to Moses, I am. Tell them, Moses, what should Moses said, who should I say sent me? Tell him that I am. I am that I am.
Right. And in addition to that, you know, exactly what you're saying. So we see Jesus actually breaking down the I am, right?
Yes.
All the things that you said. Because Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd.
The good shepherd.
I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. So Jesus breaks down with the whole embodiment. Thank you, Sister Barbara, of the I am. I am everything that you could possibly need. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
But like you said, Jesus just broke it down. You know, just in case you don't know what you need, I'm bread. I'm water. I'm light. I'm everything you need. You don't need nothing else. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I am everything.
My God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And let me just, I'm going to finish this. Some of the most
crucial. I'm getting chills over here. Come on.
I know. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes. Oh, praise God.
Yes.
Some of the most crucial affirmations of his deity are found here. And we see there's a few verses. One in one is the deity. In the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, you know. And these verses go on to affirm Christ's deity. And it says the Word of God, but the Word also became flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this is incarnate, right? The Word became flesh. The humanity of Jesus can be seen in his weariness, thirst,
yes,
dependence, grief,
mm-hmm.
troubled soul,
mm-hmm.
and his anguish and death.
Yes.
So there was a question. I'm gonna ask you guys this question because it came up in this lesson. Let's see if I can find it. I said, wow, that's an awesome question. And I'm going to find it, and I'm going to share it with you guys. before we leave. Hold on, let me find questions. Let me find a question. Okay. Here we go. You ready for the question?
Yeah.
Drum roll. Oh, Lord, where did I put it? I hope I put it at the end. Oh, here it is. Here's the question.
Okay.
Did Jesus need to become a human to understand humanity? Why or why not? Is the question.
Is that hard?
Did Jesus need to become?
Did Jesus need to become a human to understand humanity? Why or why not?
Now?
To understand humanity?
But if you have an answer for it now, go ahead. But if you want to,
did Jesus need
just,
to
well, I can try to
translate over it.
I think Evangelist is still writing it down. I don't want to say anything.
No, I finished. I just needed to write it down because if anything, I can look it up later.
Okay.
What's the answer, Sister Barbara?
Well, I don't know that I have an answer, but my thought is that Jesus, like his Father, is omniscient, and he knows everything.
Ooh.
So he came down, born of a woman, begotten through the Holy Spirit. So he came down as a human to show us what we should do. It wasn't so much for him to understand. He needed to show us the way. And in doing so, that's why he became a human. For us to have eyes on, even though centuries later, we haven't seen him, but we can realize that he's within us. But at the time that he lived, it was for the people to see what all
perfect.
This was about, my thought.
That is
Thank
a perfect
you.
Answer
Thank
to the
you.
Question. Exactly. Because it wasn't necessary. Jesus didn't need to become a human to understand humanity because he created. Jesus
all right.
created. God created man. God knows man. Like you said, mm-hmm. Sister Barbara. Omniscient. So he knows
yes.
all. Okay,
oh,
so
yes.
he didn't become a human to understand humanity. But as you said, it was necessary for humans to understand him. It was
yeah,
necessary
right.
for him to be an example for us.
Yes. yes.
And also to show that the things that he went through, trying to go through them too. And
yes.
see how he remained in all of those disheartening situations, those slaps and spits and just people rejecting him and all of that. All of that.
Mm-hmm.
We too and still have life if we hold
yes.
on to him. And him. Amen, because he is the way. He's all those I am.
Amen.
The way, the life, the truth. I am the vine, and we are the branches.
Yeah. Okay, it's 8:06.
Beautiful.
And,
oh, yeah.
Beautiful. So we got thank you for that.
Christ in John.
Yes. Oh no, we contributions to the Bible. Yeah, we finished Christ in John. Yeah.
Okay, so contributions.
Let's go back to contributions to the Bible.
But
all right. Praise God. Someone want to pray us out?
Sister Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been in a while, so we're going to use you while we can.
It's like a few of your humble servants come to say thank you. God, we thank you for this opportunity to walk through the word, your word that brings life to us, that gives us understanding. That gives us chills and thrills, Father God. We thank you for that word, for the understanding. We thank you for the facilitator as she goes through this book and just brings more understanding to our minds, Father God. So we thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank and love Lady Nadine. We appreciate her also. Same thing with Evangelist Hilda. We thank you. We can't thank you enough, Father God, for your son. We thank God for your Holy Spirit. Lord God, without him, we could do nothing. Man can do a lot of things, but if God is not in it, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you are and all that you will ever be. Thank you for creating us so that we can just show your light.
Yes.
Love on Father God, show them the Jesus in us, Father God. We thank you for doing it because you didn't have to do it. And Lord, just cover us, protect us, continue to love on us as we do the same for others, Lord God. And again, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. We love you for your faithfulness, your unconditional love, your compassion, your kindness, all of the good things about yourself. We thank you, Lord. There's no one else like you. We search high, we search low. There's none like you. So, God, again, thank you for who you are, and thank you for making us who we are. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Praise God. Praise God.
And I wanted to say before we leave, I got an email from convent.
Okay.
For the another down payment. So I just want to say, I guess everybody received it, right?
Yeah.
And I think so it's due by the.
We sent it to the same address.
Yeah, the same place.
Yes.
We sent it and make memo note for that timeout.
Right, you
got to
put in a note
that
for time out.
You know, you got to note it because otherwise it'll go into the regular treasury and they won't know what it's for.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Okay, cool, guys.
Didn't get mine out yet, but I plan to probably before the week is out.
Yeah, yeah, me too. The 30th. They want it by June 30th. So
right.
Which is close. Yeah. All right, guys. God bless. And have
God bless you.
Thanks for a wonderful lesson again.
Beautiful lesson.
Oh, and I won't be with you on Saturday. I already told, well, you won't be there anyway, Lady Nadine, but I won't be with you on Saturday. Nobody's going to be there. Didn't you say you had something to do?
Yeah. I'm going to be there.
No class. No study on Saturday.
No service. Shalom. Love you guys.
Shalom. Bye.